Morning. Just like to declare the meeting open at 9:38, and I start by acknowledging the Condamuk people, who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning. I'd like to pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians who may be present here today. Just a housekeeping item: in the event of an evacuation for anyone in the public gallery, and also for us here in chambers, I ask you remain calm and follow my directions. The emergency exit is through the gallery doors on your left and down the stairwell to exit on Bloomfield Street. I trust there won't be an emergency this morning, well, natural disaster at least. Just also a reminder, as always, of public conduct at our general meetings under section 32 of our standing orders. All members of the public present at a meeting must not, without the prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recordings or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards, or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. Be suitably dressed. Turn all mobile devices to silent. Please leave the meeting if you wish to take a call. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period that the chairperson decides, and that could include future meetings. I haven't been advised of any leaves of absence this morning. Section 3 of our devotional segment. I'd like to welcome Pastor Scott Frame from Salvation Army to now lead us in a brief devotional segment. Thank you.
Teresa was 7 months pregnant. On their journey there, only 30 minutes into that flight, she doubled over in pain and began bleeding, and they knew there was a medical emergency on board. A medical intern leapt forward to try and assist in this situation and knew that there was actually more assistance required as well. After a brief few alarming moments, a baby was born, but the baby was in trouble. The umbilical cord was wrapped tightly around this baby's neck and the baby wasn't breathing. Two paramedics were found on board by flight attendants and they rushed forward to also assist. One of those paramedics had specific experience with infant respiratory procedures and knew that there was fluid on the baby's lungs that needed to be removed and called out to anyone on the flight, "Does anyone have a straw? We need a straw to remove this fluid from the baby's lungs." No one had a straw on board. The plane didn't even stock straws. But one of the attendants remembered that they'd brought one of those very small juice boxes on board and it had a straw attached, rummaged through her belongings and found it and brought it forward. So while the intern removed the umbilical cord from this baby's neck and started performing CPR, the paramedic used this small straw to remove the fluid from this baby's lungs, and the other paramedic was able to tie off the umbilical cord with a shoelace that someone offered from amongst the passenger group there. And after a number of minutes, some very hectic and worrying minutes, finally the sweetest sound those people heard on that day was heard across the plane, the sound of a baby crying. And this little boy was found safe and well through the assistance of all these different people on the plane. You can imagine how they cheered and clapped and applauded to know that the baby was safe. The parents, Rob and Teresa, decided to call that little baby Matthew, which means gift from God or God sent, and they acknowledged in that all the people on that plane in all their different ways and how they had contributed to being a godsend to their family and to their little boy. Why do I tell that story this morning? Simply because it's a reminder to me, as I hope it is to you, that God meets the needs of the world through people. People who just give what they have and do what they can. That's all that has happened in that wonderful and miraculous story. And so as I think of our city and I think of the great challenges and needs that lie before it, I'm reminded that for not only our council lords, but for all of us, we are those people. God meets the needs of our city through us, through the people around this table, and how we encourage and inspire others to give all they have and do what they can. So I encourage our counsellors on that journey. I encourage us all in our city to see that that's how we meet the needs of this city and take it forward into the future. Let me pray for all of you in your deliberations today. Dear Lord, I thank you for the gift of community. I thank you that when we acknowledge community, we also recognize needs. And the diverse needs of our community sit before us today and sit before this meeting as our councillors deliberate and seek wisdom and discernment in a way forward. But I pray that they will always be encouraged to know that God will meet the needs of this city through people. People who are prepared to give what they can, people who are prepared to offer all that they have. In the same way that you have offered everything to us and gave us this example in Jesus Christ of someone who is prepared to give all he had and deliver all he could. May we be people who match that agenda. May we be a city that's marked by those who meet the needs of others by loving them, sacrificing for them, providing hope and comfort into their future. And may we see that the greatest resource in our city remains the people of this city. Lord, we pray it in the name of Jesus today. Amen.
Councillors, the next item on our agenda is a declaration of interest on any items of business. Councillors are reminded of their responsibilities in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest at a meeting. These responsibilities are outlined and detailed in your agenda, and I would also remind you that declarations can be made at any time throughout the meeting. Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wish to point out that I have a perceived conflict of interest on 19.2 in the confidential reports today. The owner of the property discussed as item 30 in the report donated $500 to my political campaign in the 2012 local government election campaign. So I will exclude myself from that section of the meeting.
Councillor, perceived or conflict? It'd be a conflict, I think. Councillor Edwards.
Yes, I have a perceived conflict of interest. It's in relation to item 4.7, attachment 13. I've received notice from council regarding shipping containers of land. I've since then taken action to remedy the matter. Officers advised yesterday the matter is now closed.
Yes, Councillor Edwards. Councillor Hill, can I ask you to just provide me with that form? Oh, thanks, Liz. When we get to that item, councillors, we'll take a vote on that. Councillors, also in our recognition segment, it would be very appropriate for us to acknowledge the passing of a previous Shire Chairman, and I'm sure, like many other Redlanders, we're very saddened to hear of the recent passing of Merv Jenrich, who certainly has left many legacies in his leadership roles across the board here in Redlands. He was one of Redlands Shires and Redlands Cities and Coasts' most respected citizens, and he devoted a large part of his working life and many years afterwards, in fact, to serving our community here. This lifetime included serving as a Redlands Shire Councillor from 1972 and a Shire Chairman from 1982 until 1991. When he entered local politics in 1970s as a councillor at Redland Bay, he knew that Redlands was not going to remain a sleepy farming hollow as it had been for so long. He also knew that council had to plan for its future growth, and it would be inevitably a very attractive place for people to call home. He was very proud to carry the label of a doer rather than a gunner, and his achievements were very many, and he was very proud of that legacy. Probably most importantly, as a civic leader, people will remember Merv being instrumental in bringing water supply to our city and sewering much of our city, in fact. Drainage, bringing that permanent water supply from North Stradbroke Island, the extension of the rail line to Cleveland, acquiring land for future major road corridors, the establishment of the Cleveland CBD and the Rabbey Bay Canal Estate. It's also responsible for the opening of the Donald Simpson Centre and the beginning of the Sunday markets here in Cleveland. As a farmer, Merv had a love of horticulture. He was a flower farmer, so it was no surprise that one of his priorities during his time on council were the provisions of parks and sporting fields in the Redlands, and many of those parks that exist today are because of Merv and his council at the time. He encountered much opposition when what is now Merv Jenrich Park was mooted as a new gateway to Cleveland. At the time, it was a swampland. Many vocal critics saw it turning into an entry statement, turning it into an entry statement as a shameful waste of money. Merv was also quick to remind people that much of the funding to establish the park would come from royalties to council from the sale of the Rabbey Bay box of land, and the park stands today as a wonderful gateway to Cleveland and a permanent reminder of Merv's vision. He fought hard for what he believed in. He and his predecessor as Shire Chairman, Dick Wood, were a formidable duo, and they certainly weren't scared of going into battle for their community in the Shire. They, along with the member for Redlands and a very good friend of theirs, John Golby, were instrumental in convincing the state government to retain the rail corridor in Cleveland and later to extend the rail line to Cleveland despite the protests of the Railways Department. That was a really large victory for the city. Imagine us without a single line right now. We know we need a duplicated line, but it would be far worse if we didn't have that rail corridor. Council had actually planned to borrow money to build the rail line itself when its extension was opposed by the department. But his biggest achievement would have to be the involvement of the piping of water from Stratty to the mainland to bolster the supply from the Leslie Harrison Dam, which at that time was owned by council. In 1990, an interview Merv had said bringing the water from Stratty was one of the proudest things he had ever done. This project provided incredible water supply, and now, of course, the rest of the region has the benefit of that as well. The move was a masterstroke and delivered the cheapest water in Queensland to the Redlands, and Merv later lent his voice to the local protest when the state government moved to acquire our water supply resources. It's no secret that Redlands rapidly changed in the 70s, 80s and 90s. Just as the case today, not everyone approved of that change. Much of the planning for the future drew criticism from residents who resisted change, and Merv laughingly told the story of how Coochie Mudlow Islanders wanted to hang and quarter him because of his plan to bring water and sewage to the island. How things have changed now. He and his colleagues were also criticised for acquiring land for transport corridors, which later allowed new major roads to be built and for shopping centres to be built in the rapidly growing Shire. He's known for his love of Redlands. He was a proud Rotarian, involved in community groups and other organisations, remained a patron and established the Cleveland Symphony Orchestra, which is now Cleveland Symphonia, in the late 1980s, and in 1984 he was the founding patron of the Redland Shire Band, which later became the Redland City Band. He loved gardening and was a patron of the Victoria Point Garden Club, supported the Scout Movement, and also was a former patron of the Redland PCYC at Calabar. In retirement, he continued to be active locally and was often seen at community events, so on behalf of all of us, I'd like to extend our sincere condolences to Merv's family, He will be sadly missed, but no doubt, as we've heard, his legacy will live on for many generations after him. My understanding is that he will be having a service on the 24th or 25th of October. So I guess we'll just confirm those details, and I'm sure it will be well attended. Bowel merge enrichment. Any other items of recognition, councillors? Councillor Mitchell, is that a yes or a no? Oh, okay. Councillor Hewlett?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is an acknowledgement of a specific person, but today I think it's important to note that the National Land Conference starts in Brisbane today. On the first day of that National Land Conference, and field trips by the delegates throughout southeast Queensland. It's important to note that today two lots of those delegates will be visiting Redlands Coast. One is Kuchimudlo Island, where they will look at the saturated steam weeding, which is non-toxic, chemical-free steam weeding, and also the signage project for the Malaluka Wetlands, which were both projects supported by Redlands City Council. And also another group of delegates will be going to Stradbroke Island on a tour led by Quandamooka people via kayak to do a discovery tour around the Quandamooka territory around Stradbroke Island. So to get two of those delegate visits into our area of Redlands Coast out of nine across the whole of southeast Queensland, I think it's a real feather in the city's cap. So just thought I'd acknowledge that. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hewlett. Any other recognitions today, councillors? There being none, I'll just move on to the business items on our agenda. Receipt and confirmation of minutes. May I have a mover and seconder that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 5th of September 2018 be confirmed? Moved, Councillor Hughes. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Any items of correctness? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously. There are no matters outstanding from the minutes of previous general meetings, so we'll move on to public participation. Just maybe check in if we have anyone that wants to address council this morning. We don't. So in which case, we'll move straight through to petitions and presentations. I believe we have a petition to be presented, Councillor Mitchell.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I do have a petition to be presented today from the residents of Raby Bay, requesting council not construct a toilet block in Raby Bay Boulevard Park.
From there, Councillor?
Yet the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
So moved by Councillor Mitchell. Seconder? Councillor Edwards, any discussion?
Excuse me, thank you, Mayor. Councillor Mitchell, is that Raby Bay Ratepayers Association or Raby Bay Residents?
That's residents.
You did say residents, I'm just seeking clarification.
It's some residents who essentially had joined the park, the petitioning.
We have a mover and seconder. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Order of business. Any motion to alter the order of business? There being none, we'll get straight on to our reports. Item 12.1, the August 2018 monthly financial reports. Can we have a mover and seconder? Move, Councillor Boglari. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Happy to move item 12.1, the August 2012 monthly report, and I gave the CFO a heads up that I would pass over to her for a brief summary of it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you as Chair, thank you, Councillor Boglow, for the opportunity. So we've tabled the August 2018 monthly financial reports today. It's the second month in the 18-19 financial year, and two out of the 11 KPIs were not met, so we've spoken about these before, councillors. The asset sustainability ratio, we know the challenges that lie in that space, and I was also asked to touch on the level of dependence of general rate revenue. This ratio looks at council's reliance on the general rate, and it tracks in line with council's quarterly levying of the rates. So we normally expect that in the first 1 to 2 periods of each quarter, we will slightly missed that target, and then by the third month in that quarter it'll come in, and I'm proud to tell you that for the September financials it has come in under target, so it's tracking cyclically as we would expect. The balance sheet remains strong, councillors. We've got cash holdings in there, and further to your decision about the monies held in trust, we've actioned that. The only other point of note for councillors is the capital carryover review that councillors adopted on the 22nd of August. That's now reflected in this report, so we can see the capital program has increased from the original adoption of $67 million. It's now sitting at $84 million, and we look forward to the September monthly financials. Happy to take any questions, Madam Mayor.
Thanks, Deborah. Is it a question? A speaker? Oh, and I'll just check if there are any speakers for or against at this point in time. There being none, question, Councillor Bishop.
Just if I may, just further clarification of the further action regarding the balances held in trust. Just, can we just clarify that?
Thank you. Reserves?
Yes.
Reserves, yeah. And trust. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So two different topics. So trust monies are held off balance sheet because it's not council's funds, but councils may recall financial services tabled a report about a body of work we've done over many, many years going back pre-Orconnex Waters. So that was a $3.5 million movement out of trust that's been actioned, and that's on the public record. Reserves are a different topic, so happy to talk to that if required, Madam Mayor.
Any other questions, councillors? There being none, put the motion. You don't need to sum up, councillor. Put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 12.2, Audit Committee. Can I have moved and seconded for item 12.2? Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Mayor. The purpose of the report is to present the minutes of the Audit Committee meeting held on 29th of August 2018 to Council for adoption.
Any speakers against, councillors? Put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 12.3, extension of External Audit Committee member appointment. Mover and seconded for that. Thanks. Councillor Boglari is moving that. Councillor Gleeson is seconding that. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Mr. Peter Dowling is a member of our audit committee that's very valued, and he's coming back for a two-year period, so we're lucky to have the experience on board.
Comment?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Just pointing out that this is not the Peter Dowling, former MP. This is another Peter Dowling of the same name.
Councillor, no, it's not a point. Councillors? So, Councillor Hewlett, if you have an official complaint, you can certainly...
I actually didn't
hear anything. Councillor Hewlett, through the chair, that's enough, both of you. I didn't hear anything derogatory in those remarks. I did not hear any, and it's not an uncommon question. Thank you. Councillors, that's enough. I don't think there was anything untoward in that. That is a question that is asked. I didn't hear any derogatory remarks. So, moving on. I'm going to put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Point of order is Councillor Elliott. Well, I think there's been a couple of councillors that aren't standing. Really? Well, Councillor, you haven't articulated your point of order. I am asking councillors to be respectful. And if you want to speak to another councillor, you do it through the chair and you do it with the procedures that are in front of you. I'm going to put the motion, those in favour, those against. The motion is carried. Thank you. Unanimously. The 12.4 Redland City Council meeting schedule. Mover and seconded for that. Councillors move. Councillor Bishop seconded Councillor Boglari. Any discussion, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 12.5, mover and seconder for that. Councillor Elliott? So that's a motion to lie on the table. That's a procedural motion. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion's carried. Councillors. 12.6, mover and seconder for item 12.6, policy 0003. Councillor Boglari is moving that motion, seconded by Councillor Bishop. Is there any discussion, councillors? No? Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari? No?
No, it's just bringing in line with what we now have to do by the state, I believe.
Yep. Okay. If there's no discussion, then I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. 12.7. Now, Councillor Edwards, you've indicated you have a conflict of interest in this item. So councillors will be required to vote whether, and just to remind councillors of what that conflict, it was a perceived conflict, you now have to vote. So he's... He's going. He wants to stay in the room. He did say that, but you will be required to vote on that. He did explain that he no longer has a conflict. But however, he had received a notice regarding shipping containers on land. There have been actions taken to remedy the matter, and officers advised that it is closed. That was his perceived conflict. So, councillors, I'll now ask you to vote whether you believe that. Councillor Edwards can remain in the room. Those in favour? Yeah, remain in the room. So that's unanimous, councillors. So it's a unanimous decision. I'll just need to get a mover and seconder for that. Move Councillor Bishop, seconder Councillor Boglari. I'll just take that vote again. Those in favour? Those against? It's carried. Councillor Edwards, I may just get you to step back out for a second. There's two motions required here. This is just the most ridiculous piece of legislation. No, it's not. Second time. So, councillors, just to be clear, the mover and seconder was that councillor has a conflict of interest. I didn't ask that question, let me just put that again. Can I have a mover and second that Councillor Edwards has a conflict or a perceived conflict of interest in this matter? Yep. No. Well, yep. So just Tracy's moving that. Seconder, just let's get through the process. Move seconded by Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? Yes. He has declared that. So you don't. What you're saying is he doesn't have a conflict. So I'm asking if you believe he has a conflict, then you would raise your hand. Okay? So this is so ridiculous. I'm sorry. Because you're asking a mover and a seconder to have that motion. You can't possibly ask someone who doesn't believe it to move that motion. Yeah, but you have to have someone move that motion. So this is not. Councillors, can we just move that he hasn't got a conflict of interest? Move Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Okay. No, we actually didn't do it. I didn't articulate it as the running sheet's asking me to. So I'd just rather be 100%. So now I'm taking another vote, councillors. He doesn't have one. So I don't need to go to the second part. Yeah. That's it, all right. Then you go to the next. What is wrong with us asking me? Rather than asking, doesn't have a conflict. Asking, doesn't have a conflict. Because well, if you don't, you're stuck. Okay. Welcome back, Councillor Edwards. Thanks for the challenge. Okay. We don't need to. It's done now. We don't believe he has a conflict. Correct? Thank you. All right, so now we need a mover and seconder for item 12.7. Mover and seconder for 12.7, councillors? Move, Councillor Elliott. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to move item 12.7, making various local I recommend the officer's recommendations on the $3 inspection of the property.
I'd like to move an amendment too for the regulated parking. Sorry. Sent around to
I asked for a mover of that, and I had a seconder. So the seconder accept that because that amendment came after I had a mover and seconder. Councillor Boglari.
I also sought clarification on that issue, and I'd like clarification in case that isn't needed.
Can I just ask that we stick with the original motion for now, because that's what we've got moved and seconded, and Councillor, if you want to move an amendment once we've had that explanation, I think that would be much more straightforward. Okay, so we have the original motion, so if we can just remove that highlighted element for now to make sure that councillors know what they're voting on.
And would could we?
All right. Did an officer put that there, or did Councillor Elliott put that there? When did the officer put that? I'm not accepting that because it's not in the agenda. I'm sorry, I am not accepting that. It's not in the agenda. If we want an amendment, it has to come from the floor. That's right. And we have an agenda that's gone public, and I'm not accepting it with the mover and seconder are already live on the... what's in our agenda.
What okay. was the change we didn't know about, please?
Yeah, well, it's news to me as well.
What was it?
Is the officer here that proposed that amendment?
Through you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Councillor, for your indulgence. The report was prepared and the recommendations, as you've got on page 55, are what is published. Subsequent to the agenda being published, officers have received some advice that we need to just include a date in the recommendation. I think it's at recommendation 10. I'll get someone to speak to the detail of that. So you can see there the proposal is to add to commence for February 2019. That was subsequent to the agenda being prepared. So we would ask council, if they support it, to accept that change at today's meeting. Happy to get that explained. Are you there, Chris?
Through you, Madam Mayor. The reason for the adopting a date or proposing to adopt a date was it's actually in the open forum. There are systems and processes that need to be put in place so that we can actually apply that open forum, particularly in view of the fact that there is permit and approval processes involved with it. We were reluctant to do any of the work until we knew we had a local law actually adopted. So to provide the 3 months is to allow the work behind the scenes to get everything up and running, so on that date people can lodge and apply under the local law, and also we can use enforcement provisions at that time.
Okay, that's the clarity, councillors. Does anyone want to put that one to bed and move the amendment? Have a vote on it. Councillor Elliott, move the amendment. Seconded Councillor Boglari. Just vote on that amendment, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? That's carried. So that amendment now forms part of the motion. All right. Now, I believe we have another amendment proposed, so let's get these out of the way.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's in relation to Local Law 5, which is subordinate Local Law Number 5, parking. There's some newly gazetted areas, and I would just like to ensure that no regulation occurs until some further community consultation is done, particularly on North Stradbroke Island, but I think also at Toondah. So that's the intent of the proposed amendment. There's a lot going on with the Goompie Master Plan, the Redlands Coast Transport Strategy, the PDA at Toondah, and I believe all those factors. We need to make sure that there's a proper consultation process and some real knowledge of what the specific community needs are before we propose any regulation.
I think the issue is also about the timeframes of regulation, which there was a commitment to that community to speak to them about what timeframes would be appropriate for those parking areas.
I think that's
fair. So that was a particular issue that wasn't addressed in this local law. So, councillors, there's the amendment. So, he has sent through an amendment.
I've sent through some words. It might need a little wordsmithing. I just wanted to make sure the intent of what I'm trying to propose is there. Happy to then have a discussion around the wordsmithing, that we get it right and we mean what we say. Say what we mean. It'll be a new point.
So, just 1 minute, we'll see if we can find the amendment that's been put forward. It was sent around, if I understand.
On the next one. It's the roads one.
Still local laws, but I've jumped the gun. I won. Oh, fair warning.
This is for the next item. So, councillors, I think you need to withdraw that and apply it to the next item. I'll just double check with officers that's correct. Local law 4 is to do with regulated parking. No, there's two different items in your agenda.
Sorry, yeah.
So there's one bulk, which is to do... I'm just trying to get a nod from someone that we're getting the amendment in the right place. Parking regulations, regulated areas, local law 4.
No, 5.
5, pardon me. Oh, it says local law 4.
Just get some advice on if I've added to the confusion. My apologies, everyone, but I just make sure I get it right.
It's actually local law 5.
Yes.
So the agenda is correct. The index of the agenda should be local law 5. Just try.
Oh boy.
Can I just seek some advice that if we're talking about regulated parking, I haven't had officer provide any advice, it will be pertaining to Local Law 5, not the first tranche of local law amendments. Correct. All right. Councillor Mitchell, I think we'll withdraw your amendment, if that's okay, and then we'll get on with the debate on these other laws.
To withdraw?
Yep. It's not pertaining to this. It's Local Law 5, regulated areas.
Page 55.
Councillor, we have another, councillors, we have another proposed amendment. Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a mayoral minute that pertains to asking the
proposed
community for further public consultation around Local Law 2 in reference to prohibited areas for dogs. And there seems to be a bit of confusion about this matter here. So I'm going to propose that with the item 12.7 and the matters covered in the local law provisions pertaining to Local Law 2, that we just excise Local Law 2 out and address that when the other consultation comes back, and then allow the other matters that are included in item 12.7, such as shipping containers, to go forward.
Have you got words for that, Councillor Tolte?
That the officer's recommendation stands, with the exception of those references to Local Law 2, which will be held over to another day.
John, you'd like to comment?
Well, I'm just catching up. Sorry, Madam Mayor, and we have got a lot of things being changed in this item, so we just need to do them. So I understand that the roads, I'll call it Local Law, is Local Law number 4, which is the next report, but the subordinate Local Law to do with regulated parking is number 5, so it's number 5 subordinate Local Law, so they're both correctly recorded in the agenda and the numbers are correct in the agenda. The issue being raised by Councillor Mitchell does relate to this agenda item. It is to do with subordinate Local Law number 5. We have, again, the subject matter experts, so Abdish is here. Again, we can articulate the proposed change, and we need to work out the best way to capture that in the recommendation. And I don't know the answer to that, so we're going to have a little bit of a discussion with how, between all of us, we can capture the wishes of the council into those recommendations. So maybe if Councillor Mitchell could just articulate his issue.
I'm going to suggest that we ask, I ask for a motion from the floor to suspend the meeting so that we can sort this out, because there is about 500 pages of local laws here and it's very confusing, and I prefer to sort out what the amendments are and make sure we've got words for that, and then we can bring the meeting back to order. So can I have a motion, please, that we suspend the meeting for 10 minutes? Moved Councillor Edwards. I think that's procedural. So I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? That motion is carried. So my apologies to those in the public gallery. We're going to suspend the meeting until 10:35 or 10:34, just so that we can... Edwards, seconded Councillor Elliott. Those in favour? Against? The motion is carried. I'll just give a couple of seconds for the members of the public to return. sorry, my apologies to those in the gallery. We have a mover for a proposed amendment to that motion. Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Hughes. Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to that amendment? I did actually, yes. Do you need to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
It's just to enable each individual item brought back so it can be discussed and dealt with at the next general meeting.
Are there any other questions or queries on that one? Okay, we have a mover and seconder. I'll move the amended motion. First, we'll have to accept the amendment. So those who support the amendment, would you please raise your hands? Okay, that's supported unanimously. And now I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to the next item, Local Law 4. Mover and seconder for that, councillors. Move Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
No, I think it's explanatory in the report. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions, councillors? Speaker against? Comment?
Yes, just in relation to this item, I know in relation to Local Law 4, fishing from public reserves, that in certain areas, generally the view is that is supported. I understand that. And there's a definition distinction between culverts and roads and bridges with water flowing underneath them. That I think will solve certain issues but leave some others unresolved. I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you. Any other question or comment? Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. On the resolution that we have on item 12.8, I note that it does not refer to the community consultation, but the report does. And my question is, when you see the next item, 12.9, that motion refers to community consultation. So I just wonder why we've got community consultation being recommended in the officer's recommendation on the next item, 12.9, but not in this one.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I'll do my best to answer that question. But there are different stages of development in those local laws. So it is a multi-stepped process to adopt a local law. This local law you're looking at now is really to commence the process and go through state interest, but it will eventually require community consultation. It's just that we are not at that stage in the process just yet. So it's just that there are different stages in their development.
So thank you, Mick. Excuse me. Thank you, John. So it will come back to us again with another motion.
Absolutely correct.
With officer's recommendation to go to community consultation.
Exactly right.
As just seeking that clarification.
When this gets to that stage, it will have a similar resolution.
Any other questions, councillors? If not, put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson. Item 12.9, Gazettal of Wellington Pointers Bathing Reserve. Mover and second of that. Move Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Including the jet skis, cause a safety issue to many of our tourists and locals every public holidays when the place is so packed. So this is a safety measure, and I thought it had been done, but it had been missed in the last lot, so we're getting it in now. Thank you.
Speaker against? No speakers against? Any questions or comments? Question, Councillor Mitchell?
I just haven't had time to actually see the map of exactly where the bathing reserve area is. I'm just interested in does that still allow in other parts of Wello for jet skis and other powered recreational vehicles to also enjoy the area?
through the chair, there's a boat ramp just around the other side, which is for safe manoeuvring of any powered craft and tying up with a beaching ramp there. So, yep, very accessible. Just the separating power and bathers.
Councillor Tolte, you have a question?
I can see in this that there are notices to be put up in customer service and no notice down at the area. Are there any further notification measures that are going to be taken?
John, can you answer that? General Manager?
Through you, Madam. I might just get Christine to go into that level of detail, and she's right there ready to go.
You might need to come up here, Christine. My apologies.
The community consultation process that we undergo will involve notices in all the customer service centres, so the three that we have, Calabar, Cleveland, Victoria Point. There'll be a notice down at the Wellington Point itself. We will do a notice in the paper. We will do notices on our website. We'll do a Your Say page to allow the community to provide feedback. So everything that's required under the local lawmaking process will be done. Plus, we'll do some ads in the bulletin as well.
Yes, given that aquatic recreation is important, certainly in that area, I just want to get some clarification as to the use of non-motorised craft and the inclusions or exclusions that are related to that. If we can just get some clarity, things like paddle boards and those sorts of things, just to understand how people recreate.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Non-motorised equipment will still be able to be used, but not within 10 metres of the bathing reserve. Motorised equipment has to be 60 metres from the bathing reserve.
Tim?
Thanks, Mayor. I'd just like to clarify the bathing reserve does not include the sandbar at King Island. Well, I'd like to confirm how far out the bathing reserve goes, please.
The bathing reserve is not designed to impact on the sandbar leading up to King Island, so it will be on the left-hand side of that. The sandbar will actually be used as the landmark for which to set the bathing reserve.
Any other questions? Why not? Councillor Mitchell.
Happy to join in. Quite a specific question. Involve a number of people who enjoy open water swimming. As a result of that, people doing their own water safety actually might have a unpowered craft with them to add to their own safety, looking after their friends and colleagues. Just wondering how that may or may not. It's a 10 metre outside the whole bathing reserve rather than individual swimmers. I'm just wondering whether it might catch them inadvertently in the net. Yeah.
There is a physical net. Yes, they wouldn't be able to bring those non-powered devices within the bathing reserve. I mean, if they were using them for safety purposes, there's lifeguards that we control. Once it's converted as a bathing reserve, we can have lifeguards in place. But no, they wouldn't be able to bring those non-powered ones.
So, excuse my ignorance, but where does a non-powered craft and a surf ski, canoe, bodyboard crossover? Yeah.
Yes. The local law itself does list what is considered non-powered craft, so things like stand-up paddleboards, kayaks. It doesn't pick up inflatable, floaty things for children and that it's more the not into the bathing reserve. They have to stay 10 minutes outside of the bathing reserve.
I think the questions that have been asked in relation to this point to why dot point one is important to consult with the community for at least 21 days the consultation period about. So I think it's important the discussion that we've had allows people the opportunity to give that feedback. We'll certainly be listening, and I think we'll be listening with the ears from the discussion that we've just had. Thank you.
Just to be certain, if I could ask, will there be a map provided with a consultation that designates that? Because I think that will answer a lot of questions for people.
Correct. We won't put the survey plan in. We'll do an aerial view with a hatched map public.
There's no further discussion on that one? I'll put them. Would you like to sum up? Go, Councillor Boglari.
We've previously seen the map. It's come to Council a couple of times, which is why I thought this was further along the process than what it is. It's on the southwestern side of Wellington Point, where the actual steps are with the beach in front of it. There's ample area there for all your kayaks and everything to come in. So we're not excluding any sort of recreational activity down there. It is a safety issue. Council used to have the signs up there saying that power craft couldn't come in. They got taken down when we had some work. Then they couldn't go back up because they then at that stage realised it had never been gazetted. So public consultation, of course, as always, is highly important. The consultation I have had by the mother whose child nearly got run over by a speedboat there last Christmas holidays, I'm sure she'll be involved heavily in it, and so will a lot of other people who have had these issues. So absolutely no one, not one sort of water activity has been excluded by putting this in. It's purely for safety. And I put the motion.
I get to do that. I think just wanted to make sure, I know we have seen the map, but wanted to make sure as part of that consultation. Yeah, it's all good. Put the motion, those in favour. Those against. Motion is carried, those in favour. Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Golay, Hewlett, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Tolte, Bishop, Williams, those against, Councillor Gleeson. Thank you. All right. Item 13, councillors. These are delegated items. If I could have a mover and seconder, please, for 13.1. Move, Councillor Bishop. Seconder, Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
No, only to suggest that these are matters under delegated authority for the categories 1, 2 and 3 development applications. Thank you.
Other questions? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thanks, councillors. Item 13.2, mover and seconder for that appeals list. Councillor Boglari is moving that. Seconded Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
No, I think they're all listed, and at any time a councillor wants an update, the officers are happy to assist us there. So no further comment.
Any other questions? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 13.3, councillors. We need a mover and seconder for that. Move, Councillor Hewlett. Seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hewlett?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. This is I'd like to move 13.3. The purpose of this report is to update council on the proposed project to undertake a structure planning process. The land located in the southwest of Victoria Point. And for those in the audience, it's between Bunker Road, Double Jump Road, Clay Gully Road, and Clinton Midland Bay Road.
Okay, well, we've done that. Just now, speaker against. Any speakers against? Question, Councillor Lewis?
Thanks, ma'am. Just if an officer could tell me, we had a discussion quite a while ago. Is the prohibit the developers continuing on, like putting land to council, their infrastructure plan, which was happening at one time?
I'll get a response from an officer. I'll get David to respond quickly. Sorry, David.
Thank you, Councillor. Through the Chair, good morning, Councillors. So, applicants will still be able to lodge applications in the structure plan area. The previous decision from Council on an application was to defer a decision until a Council-led structure plan had been completed. Applications can still be lodged, they will still be assessed, But of course, as we move through the structure plan process, there'll become more and more certainty as to council's intentions for that. So it may well be that council decides as we move through the process that would be inclined to make decisions on applications. But the position that council has taken to date is that the structure plan should be completed before decisions.
Just a further question through you, Chair. What's the expectation of timeframe?
So the report before council indicates that, you know, all being well, we would anticipate that the structure plan would be complete by September next year.
Councillor Tolte, did you have your hand up? Speaker, are you speaking against it or for it? Against it.
Yes, Madam Mayor. This structure plan is extremely important, and I have been asking that this work be done since the first day I came into council. And it's finally here, and it's not going to be finished until September next year. The methodology I don't have a great deal of confidence in either, so I'm disappointed to say I won't be supporting it, although we desperately need a structure plan for the area.
Speaker 4. Councillor Hewlett. You've already spoken to her. Question, Councillor Edwards.
No, just following on from Councillor Tolte's remarks, and the question is it a matter of resourcing because it's taken until September next year, or is it because of resourcing that it can't be done at a quicker time frame?
It's not really a resourcing issue, it's just a process issue. These things can be fairly complex to pull together. I'm sure there are many councillors in the room who would recall previous structure planning processes at Kinross Road and South East Thornlands and how long they took. So I would suggest that a process that takes around a year going through state interest review is to be expected.
Question, Councillor Hughes?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Further to that, David, just noting page 439, Council may determine that additional community engagement over and above the statutory requirements is required. If that happens, will that kick this timeline out? Thanks. And what would trigger that, please?
Through the chair, yes, it would affect the timelines. I mean, councillors may recall on city plan, council determined that it would have a much longer community engagement period, but that was for a citywide planning scheme. This is quite a narrow structure plan that affects discrete compartments of the city. So yes, it would affect timeframes, absolutely.
And your triggers? What triggers?
Council decision list.
Okay.
Any other comments? Councillor Golic.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. Just through to David, and obviously it's going to be our decision, but I'd encourage the longest public consultation we can actually do with every sort of facility given to it, given the fact that now the South East Thornland Structure Plan is actually starting to embed the final pieces of the puzzle of its development. And we've actually got residents who have actually purchased in new estates as part of the South East Thornland Structure Plan, now lodging submissions saying we don't want any development next to us, but it's actually almost like the next stage of their development. That process obviously took a long time, wasn't implemented until 2010. So we're talking 2018, where things have slowly rolled out. And the public still didn't know about it, or they don't know about it today. They still don't understand the process of how these things are done. So I'd also encourage an education process of what they're actually consulting on. Thank you.
If I could just respond to that, I think you'll find after a few years as an elected representative that it won't matter how much consultation you do, there will still be people who don't understand the process because it's so complex. And just to note that I have personally asked the ministers to provide education to the broader community of South East Queensland in regards to how development planning processes occur. So I wouldn't like you to think that a longer process will eliminate confusion. Any other comments? Moved by Councillor Hewlett. Do you want to sum up, Councillor Hewlett?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to sum up. In defence of officers, this was delayed also by Council because we refused the application by Ausbil for the initial stages between Clay Gully and Brendan Way, so I can't blame officers for that. And this is also compounded by the Victoria Point bypass being investigated by the state government, road upgrades to Anita Street intersection, upgrades to the Clay Gully intersection. This isn't just a little project. This needs a lot of time to be assessed and make sure that the transport corridors aren't even fixed yet and what the state expected of that. So I've seen sheds take 6 months to get approved in this place, so a year for a structure plan to me is quite a short time frame. So I'm happy to move as the officers recommend. Thank you.
I'm not happy for sheds to take 6 months to get assessed, by the way. I just wanted to clarify that because I wouldn't like to think that we're going to be held up by the state planning or a commitment, a political commitment to the Victoria Point bypass, which is a local road when they could be fixing their own roads, Cleveland Redland Bay Road. That's not going to hold the process up, is it? Because that could go nowhere. And then who's going to pay for it?
Through Madam Mayor, the officer's recommendation before you, item three, is to seek authority for us through the CEO to give the Chief Executive a notice requesting early confirmation of state interests. The reason that we are recommending that the Council does that is so that we have a clear understanding of what the state's position will be in terms of the state-controlled road network. That will allow us as early as possible be able to deal with any matters that need to be dealt with.
Can I just ask then that not only do we ask about the state roads, which there's no commitment to currently that I'm aware of except for Anita Street, political commitment. Oh, no, I think it might be in their budget, actually. But also there was a commitment also to do a traffic study on the bypass, which is a local road. So I just want to make sure that if that's a state interest, they need to declare it. And I would like to understand if they declare it, then do they need to take over that road?
That's right, Madam Mayor. That's exactly why we're suggesting that Council does give that notice, seeking an idea of where they believe, what they believe the state interest will be, including potential bypass.
That's clear. All right. We've had the summing up. I apologise. I just wanted to have that clear in my mind. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Those in favour, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams, those against, Councillor Tolte and Councillor Gleeson. Update and annual report. Move and second of that. Move Councillor Boglari, second to Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Thank you. The Redlands Economic Development Board is made up of quite a composition of skilled people from various areas, industry areas, and they always come and give very good insight into various projects and give encouragement or constructive advice where needed. And when we sit in and listen to them, it's great to get that outside fresh eyes on our business here. So I recommend people read this actual report. There's a lot of good data in it. And it was nice at the last Economic Development Board listening to them absolutely rave about Redlands and how they all love driving here and coming through our rural areas and what a great opportunity we have for tourism and the various different types of businesses that they suggested, like the farm at Byron Bay and things like that. So they're right on board with our current branding and tourism opportunities, and they're very encouraging with their advice towards Council on the track we're having. So I recommend people read that report.
Any speakers against? Question, Councillor Bishop?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I suppose through you it's a question to the CEO. Just as a councillor, the officer recommendation is to note this report. Can I just ask, does that represent tacit endorsement for the report going forward in relation to the action items that are included within it? Or by noting, I notice I'm just sort of noting that it exists, but I have got some questions I would like to ask. Matter. represents tacit endorsement.
Thanks for the question, Councillor Bishop. They're an advisory board primarily, so it doesn't commit council to their advice. Their advice comes back through the organisation and ultimately comes through council as reports.
Anything that requires budget will require council endorsement. That's how it works. And I think it's also good to note that they actually don't endorse doing every single sectoral plan. So, yep. Comment, Councillor Golay, or question?
Oh, just a question. Thanks, Madam Chair. Through to the CEO. How much involvement does the Chamber of Commerce have with the Economic Development Board? And I ask this in the context of I had morning tea with Lynn Sturges, the president of the Chamber of Commerce. She sort of indicated that there wasn't a great deal of input from the Chamber to the Economic Development Board. So I'd just like to clarify, is there that meshing of the two entities together to actually talk about ideas and what's going to happen economically? Thank you.
I'll ask Louise Sarn to perhaps answer that.
Thank you, Mr. CEO, and thank you for the question, Councillor Golay. This is an advisory board to Council. The Chamber of Commerce is a stakeholder group like any other stakeholder group, so while we may seek involvement from them in terms of feedback, there is not a connection in terms of their representation. They're not represented on the Economic Advisory Board.
Thanks, lady. I understand, but I just think it would be probably a common sense approach to actually have the actual business drivers of the Redlands involved with the Economic Development Board.
There's nothing preventing them from seeking to meet, or it's just that these people are providing industry advice to council and far as
the Economic Development Board's quite strategically high.
Correct.
As far as their experience, and I think our chamber could learn a lot from them, so the chamber was a little bit more proactive rather than reactive.
Councillor Mitchell?
Just a comment. The board is, note it's meeting number 10, and well, this is an annual report. So in investment terms, it's still fairly an immature investment. I see it just really developing. I see it gaining momentum and gaining a bit of focus, which is great. I think that will lead to a more focused effort by the council resources, better results for Redlands. I note that the board does really emphasise those partnerships, both with council, the community, not-for-profits, for-profit businesses. So they certainly do note the value of all those partnerships. I think also within that partnership, it should be recognised that council should only do what it should do. And I take Councillor Bishop's point that we don't want to overstep our role. But to me, building some plans, though, are facilitation. We may disagree on where that level stops. But I agree, council has a role and shouldn't overstep it, and industry and various other partnerships need to be very strong and be encouraged to come on board so they do the heavy lifting along with council. Thanks.
Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Councillor Mitchell and Mayor. I'd just like to note that Dr. John O'Donnell has officially resigned from the board. He made a fantastic contribution to our health sector, highly regarded. I listened intently to his vision, to his history, a great asset to the board, and he will be missed. And I'd just like to commend the work that Dr. John O'Donnell has contributed. And we note here that we are in a search to replace Dr. John. Do we have any update on that, thanks?
Through you, Madam Mayor, thank you for the question, Councillor. We are in a recruitment process currently for a replacement for Dr. O'Donnell.
I think it's fair to say that the health strategy, the health action plan, his contribution was best felt in that, and we've now completed that, so it would be good for us to look at what other opportunities and experiences we can bring to that board to further the rest of the economic development framework. And but I agree, he was a very great contributor to the whole, you know, the whole agenda for the Economic Development Advisory Board, but in particular the health. Any other comments? Councillor Boglari, do you want to sum up?
No, I think everyone's in agreement that their contribution is very valued.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Councillor Gleeson is absent. Item 13.5, mover and seconder, please, for La Brisbane Redlands Coastal Catchment Action Plan 2018 to 2021. Councillor Hughes? Move. Seconded. Councillor Bishop. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. I am just delighted to bring item 13.5, Lower Brisbane Redlands Coastal Catchment Action Plan 2018 to 2021. Thank you.
Speaker against? Do you want to speak?
Yes.
It's already been moved and seconded, Councillor, so if you want to speak to it.
Thank you, Mayor. As a new councillor, this is one that is going to stick in my memory for the rest of my years in our naivety and our new roles to the job. How many emails can a councillor get in a day? And I was pretty jolly shocked at how many we were getting. And I know that I stopped our mayor in the corridor one day and I said, you know, all these emails. And I said, we've got one on the Resilient Rivers Initiative. You know, how important is this that I need to understand it? And honestly, Mayor, I remember your eyes nearly popped out of your head. as such, and your immediate response was, this is absolutely critical to our waters and our bay area, and I will never forget that instant response of how important this is to us. So every month or every quarter, whenever we get these emails on the Resilient Rivers Initiatives, I absolutely troll every single word. It's just such a great program. We need to remember that we are just one small part of our Southeast Queensland area, and this report is outstanding. Thank you.
Councillor Bishop, a comment, I assume there's no speakers against. Councillor Bishop, comment.
It is a comment, and absolutely acknowledge the significance of the coastal catchment and how it impacts our city. And when we think about Moreton Bay, I know that regularly people talk about mangroves and the state of our foreshore. People talk about a time when there were no mangroves. And a little while ago, I got to thinking about how much since European settlement, tillage of soil, change of the way that the entire catchment has allowed soil to flow down into the bay, ultimately filling it and depositing itself there, muddifying it, creating a different environment entirely. We think about how things have changed over the last 150 years. I think it's worth bearing in mind the impact of humanity and the responsibility of local governments doing this really important work across Southeast Queensland to think about the entire catchment, because it does affect what will ultimately, one day, if it continues the way it has, becoming land, unless there's massive changes to the sea level. Those matters are addressed in this. When we come back to Redland City itself, I have asked officers through some discussions that we've had previously and had some follow-up since yesterday, that it's very important, I think, now that we have the Redlands Coast branding and definition, that we look at the amazing work that our officers are doing within our organisation and also how it touches the various commercial businesses and the requirements on commercial enterprises in our city, also local landowners, and also where residents, through citizen science projects and other initiatives, can be involved in the management of our own catchments, creeks, waterways. And I think that is a collective responsibility that we all need to manage. And as we're doing this big Southeast Queensland Resilient Rivers project, I think that it's beholden upon us as Redlands Coast to give people as many opportunities as they can to be aware of what's possible here and what else we might need to do. So I've asked for that work to happen. I believe that it's proceeding, and hopefully it can be aligned with this. But I very much support this kind of work. over the cycles of time. This is very important stuff. So thank you very much. That's all.
Any other comments, councillors? So if I could just add that, albeit that there's a regional approach to this, we are today talking about the Lower Brisbane Redlands Coastal Catchment Management Plan. And, you know, consulted with councils as far west as Ipswich, SEQ, Port of Brisbane, because they all have an impact on our waterways here in Redlands. And this also gives us the opportunity to endorse spending our money in the right place at the right time across the region that gives us the best possible outcome for our region. So the council mayors have obviously been pushing this issue for many years now, and hopefully we'll finally get some governance structures in place. Discussions continue with the state. We also look for to the federal government to find other ways of funding this into the future, such as city deals. And so that remains part of the advocacy that council mayors does in this space. So it's not just about you know, one level of government or a number of local governments working together, but three levels of government spending the money in the right place at the right time to get the best outcome. So and for what that's worth, later this month I will be representing the Council of Mayors and Resilient Rivers at the International River Symposium to talk about the cross-collaboration of South East Queensland mayors and how it benefits not only us locally but regionally. So I appreciate the support for it, councillors. So with that...
thank you, Mayor. Can I sum up?
Yes.
Thank you.
I know you're a bit excited about this one. I'm just no other comments, councillors.
I'd just like to reiterate the Mayor's words, just in the power of partnerships. Those words here in the report were so strong that, and the Mayor has just articulated beautifully how strong it is just between local council, state and federal. The action item number 7 is the reinstate the fish passage at 3 priority locations, and Councillor Boglari and I are lucky enough to share Thelmunger Park and Hilliards Creek at Ormiston, and we've been there and seen the value of that program. And with that, as we move the council resolution to endorse this program, item 1 and item 2, and just personally, and I know it's not right, but any budget requirements are considered, and I would have added the word favourably because this is a jolly good project, as part of council's normal budget preparations and prioritising processes. If you need to bring it back, guys, please bring it back and let us know. Thank you.
Councillors, offer the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Councillors. Our next item, councillors, I've distributed 2 mayoral minutes. If I could, the first being the FOGO, Food Organics and Garden Organics Service Across Redlands, and I'll put that mayoral minute to you. I guess much of it is included in the background information. Certainly my experiences working at the national level with the Australian Local Government Association and at the state on the board of the ALGA and on the policy executive of LGAQ. Waste has been topical, as we know. We're going to be dealing with a $70 levy as of March next year imposed by the state government. And although there is a commitment, a political commitment, that there won't be an impact on ratepayers, I don't understand how that can happen because someone has to pay for it. And there is, you know, there is some policies in place and we will see how that rolls out, considering that a third of that money will just go to general revenue and not into actually reducing waste or dealing with waste, is a concern for all councils in Queensland. And certainly LGAQ have made that very clear, and I believe there's submissions that have been received across the board to the state on this particular piece of legislation. But having dealt with other councils who have faced the levy in other states, certainly one of the benefits has encouraged people to think differently as to how they use that, how they dispose of waste. And the organics element is certainly something that in parts of councils around Adelaide, the president of ALGA, and I had a big chat about the opportunities to take organic waste out of our regular bins and put it into our green bins and create, a circular economy
by being able to produce composting that can be sold back to the public. So 25% of our bins apparently includes organic waste. So if you reduce 25% of your waste in your red top bins, that goes a long way to reducing the impact of waste levy ultimately. So although I have actually asked, and I spoke to the CEO about this, I have asked for officers to do some work in this space through the CEO so that we can have a consideration. But because I think it's really critical for community to understand the opportunity and for councillors to endorse this opportunity, I wanted to bring it back to, I guess, stress the importance of this to the organisation. And so I present to you Meryl Bennett as it's listed there. So obviously this is not agreeing to it, this is just bringing back a report that will outline the opportunities, markets, benefits and potential cost of doing this. And I'm happy with that, councillors, to have speakers, questions. Councillor Bishop.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I totally understand the need for management of putrescibles, which is that organic matter that does lead to all sorts of contamination within the waste stream. I also think if, as mentioned yesterday when we were discussing this with officers, for council to look back at some of the things that have historically existed in Redland City as solutions, which may through time have been not remained the focus. I think as we look back, I think there have been some things that Redland City has done well in the past as a council. And I also wonder whether you would indulge the inclusion of looking at, because this is a massive concern that ultimately our ratepayers and residents will pay for, whether it's worthwhile and whether you would allow officers to look at opportunities from across the world of where collective impact of citizens working together with councils and coming up with alternative ways of managing waste streams might be useful as well. I think there are many examples around the planet as people deal with these issues and challenges where different models to the... because there are challenges here and the return on investment isn't necessarily something that large entities race into, but there are sometimes ways that communities can band together and do things. Would you indulge inclusion of looking at some of those sorts of things? And there are cooperative models that do exist. And I think it's worth our while having some understanding of how communities, citywide in other areas, are addressing these sorts of issues. Would you be interested in indulging that? I would like to establish at this point, would you consider that if there were some examples that could be provided into this report, would you welcome that? And it absolutely, including putrescibles, it is specific to putrescibles where cities... I do believe... Yeah, the issue is really in point two, looking at should include potential community and industry partners. Now, this is not necessarily the sort of partnership that is an entity, but rather a collective impact kind of approach, which...
I think we'll take it as a comment, and if I could just refer to Peter Best, I think if we can take those comments on board and that can come back.
I'm happy to do some of the work to look at where some examples I believe are of relevance. This has come up rather recently, but I do believe there are some things worth bearing in mind that might be a regional solution to Redland City that fits with the culture of our people.
Absolutely. I think if you talk to the officers as they prepare the report, I think that will cover it. Councillor Barry.
I'm just wanting clarity there because it's got... the investigation should include potential community partners. So does that give Councillor Bishop the certainty that that sort of thing would be included, the community? Okay. Yep.
Will this coincide with we're having a look in November on our waste strategy? Would that be back in time for that.
If I may, Madam Mayor, that workshop, the future waste strategy workshop update, will be coming to Council on the 20th of November. It's locked in as of yesterday. Whether or not the report outlining the cost, potential markets and benefits will come back to Council coincident with that workshop, I would think not. This is a, you know, this is a significant body of work that will be integrated into the future waste strategy for Council.
Madam Mayor, waste is obviously one of the most, it's not an emergency, but it is one of the most topical issues that we as an organisation, every council is facing at the moment. This report would have to feed into the budget process for next year and therefore would be, if not one of the latest reports in the calendar year, one of the earliest reports in the new calendar year, so that we can put it into the whole discussion that we need to have about waste and the impacts of cost, not only of the waste levy, but also the costs of recycling, which are significant to Council.
And so bearing in mind that the State Government have also changed, well, they're proposing to have legislation to allow us to uniquely change our budget requirements for this waste levy, albeit that it may or may, I mean, they are slightly different things, but I just would like to think that we can do this, you know, in a parallel so that community understands the real cost. So that's what I'm hearing. Happy with that, Councillor Elliott? All right. Any other questions, Councillor Mitchell?
Yeah, commend you for bringing this forward, Mayor, and it's not just about the food and organics, I realise, but that's certainly something I've very well understood in that 23% and above. So I think it's a wonderful start. I think it is really important for the community to understand that as we move towards a much more mature discussion around the country on better waste management, that it's not going to be cheaper. So that's the first permission we're going to need from our community to do whatever resources to do the right, to throw whatever financial and other resources at this problem, in partnership around the country, I think, certainly around our region. One permission will be to watch the space on what that may cost. The other thing is that will cost nothing is on behaviour change, and I think there's some really great work with our community that can be done on behaviour change. It may indeed be bespoke community efforts, that, such as Councillor Bishop's alluding to, but I'm certainly aware in every street, and even in my own household, if I'm the recycling zealot and the waste reduction zealot, it's not shared to the same enthusiasm across my family. So I think there's some great work we can do with our community to say, well, you know, let's stop it at that point. Thank you.
Any other comments, councillors? I thank you for that. And look, I think it's timely. Recycling is really what has triggered the waste issue and the waste levy, but it doesn't mean we can't do other things better. And for those, if I could, you know, give a bit of a plug for our green waste bin during October, for those people in our community that are thinking about their green waste, we've got a deal for you. For the month of October, any mainland household that orders a 240-litre green waste bin will pay no bin establishment. So that's a $30 saving. So that might be your first foray into generating great, rich compost and soil products. And the example that the Mayor of Prospect in South Australia has implemented down there is each resident gets a sink tidy
bin with biodegradable bags, where they get a roll of bags every year. Those bags take away the odour and they put them into their green bin and it's taken away every second week or whatever it might be and then turned into a useful product for gardens, etc. So that's the example that kind of inspired me. I'm sure it's not the only one. There might be others out there. So, yeah, there's probably a number of councils anywhere where the waste levy has been implemented, and in some instances state governments take a lot more than 30%, just straight into general revenue, by the way. So we need to watch that space, because that is the risk with this levy into the future as well. But, yeah, anything we can do better in that space will be of value to the community. So with that, just put the motion, councillors, those in favour. Oh, sorry, Deb, before you did.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, just in support to you, noting the linkage to the budget, just to reassure yourself and councillors, not only is the Waste Business Unit attending a local government's specific forum next week, but also myself. So we're going to look from legislation, budget, finance and operational perspective. So there's certainly a sense of urgency within the business to
Yes, great, thank you. That's in response to trying to minimise the impacts to our ratepayers.
Yeah, sorry, man, just a final comment. I'd just like to give a bit of credit to our council team, our waste education officers and the team now. I know they've been doing some great work around the community. Yep. And specifically, I've had some work on NSI as well. So thanks for what they're doing already.
All right, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item, councillors, is really in response to some issues that have been raised publicly and petitions being driven around the city. And I guess in order for us to address that properly, we have a process. And obviously it's hit the paper and social media in regards to the local law that's been in place since 1997 in regards to prohibiting dogs at our Cleveland markets and the signs that have gone up that have basically articulated that 1997 local law. And in order for us to make sure the community has a say, it's an old law. It's fair to say that the city has changed and people in the city have changed. And I think it's probably timely of us to review that particular element of our local law too. So simply at this point in time, I would be asking that we seek the community feedback and that we do public notification to understand what the community's views are in 2018. The mayoral minute is before you. I don't think I need to go into the detail. My understanding is that despite those signs going up over the past 12 months, unless things have changed recently, there's been no infringements served. But there has been a lot of education taking place at the markets. So it's generated a lot of concern, and the way council can deal with that is by asking for the community's feedback more broadly. Councillor Elliott.
Just want to ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
Originally when you raised this about the influence of the reading and you seek community feedback, where is the city where the dogs are prohibited? Can somebody tell me where the dogs are prohibited?
Bloomfield Street, between Queen Street and Middle Street.
Is there community feedback in areas of the city? Dogs are prohibited. It's the first line. I'd like to know from the officer where dogs are prohibited.
It says including Bloomfield Street, Cleveland, between Queen Street and Middle Street.
On areas of the city where dogs are. That's one area. Bloomfield Street's one area.
Well, that's the area that I'm seeking.
Okay. So we're just talking about Bloomfield Street, specifically Bloomfield Street. That's it, right? Okay. We're picking on dogs, if I put it this way. What about animals? Can I ride my horse down there or something? Yeah, like, honestly, yeah, I'm a previous dog owner, but, you know, the cat people have always been, you know, the dogs and stuff. So I can wander in with my doggy, but I can't wander in with my dog. And I'm sort of saying, well, we're going to ask if you want animals banned or not. I'd like it at animals. But supported if it's animals. But if it's not, you know, we're just picking on dogs.
So what you're saying is that if people come back and I think that would completely change the outcome if you were to say animals, because I'll be bringing my alpacas down and seeing if I get thrown out.
Right. I'm just saying
well,
you're asking
no, dogs are very
dogs,
specific.
I'm just saying there is issues with animals.
The issue is with dogs. That's what's been raised.
Well, I'm just saying, Julie, I'm saying we're picking on dogs, and I wanted to move to from dogs to animals. I'm just suggesting it, that's all.
I'll get Graham, if you would just mind. We do have specific laws about specific animals. And so if you want to review another law about animals, then you're more than welcome to bring back that. But this is specifically about dogs, because that's where the issue has been raised.
Here is there's a schedule in the local law which basically lists preemptive areas for dogs, as I understand. So the review at the moment is targeting the Cleveland markets, but I guess wording could be interpreted to be the whole schedule. So we just need to, I guess, get some clarity around that. But certainly.
Can I just ask Graham? So, can you give me just another example of the dogs breeding?
Yep, so there's some portional areas around the city that are breeding. So, some beach, Red Lake, portional areas. So those areas are protection.
So, this is specifically about. So, yeah, that's fine. I just when I first saw, because when you initially raised this, it's about Blue River Street, and then I read the first line that said areas of the city, so I hope that you're looking at everything, so I thought this is going to be a big thing.
Be fair to the issue that's been raised, we need to be specific.
Okay.
Because that's where the interests and the petitions have been directed. So I'll ask the opposite, do you need me to be more specific, or can you take that on board? Well, just probably seek community feedback where dogs are prohibited in. You just need to take a few words out. I'll work on that. So we've got some more comments. Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Those of us that have been around Redland for a very long time, I would suggest that this law was probably brought in when the markets became a thing. Is that when the market started, 1997? Yeah. So, I can remember going at around that time, the Riverside markets in Brisbane were pretty much the only markets, and that was quite a novelty to go to markets of any sort at the time. And so markets were popping up all over the place. And I'm sure the council at the time brought in this specific rule with the thought that they were managing public safety, et cetera. And time has really well and truly moved on. The community have a completely different view of the way that their pets are incorporated into their families now. We are well and truly behind the times. You've got the mayor of Gold Coast standing up proudly declaring on the news just this week that he's got his markets in the middle of surface paradise and dogs are welcome. And there we are with people thinking that we're sticking signs up in the middle of it all and disrupting business. I have family that live in the US and other family that have recently returned from Europe where dogs are part of the family. They go out to cafes, they go out to restaurants. They don't seek there to interfere with that, and even to the point where in the US they don't have dog on lead rules. If you take the dog to the park, it doesn't have to be on a lead. You're responsible for keeping it under control. People do it all over the place, and there's no trouble. And people don't assume that government is going to take responsibility for their animals. So I think that this is a small step in the right direction, and I certainly welcome the review, and I'm sure that we'll have plenty of feedback.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Tolte. I will speak a little bit on the other side of this debate. I'm not supporting the dogs at the markets as such, and I uphold the law. And I remember that we debated this. This was a hot topic about 5 or 6 years ago, well before I was in council. At a recent PNC meeting, I just took a straw poll. There was five that of the eight that were there was five that did not support dogs at the markets and three that did, including the principal, who was a bit, I'll go that way because. So we may be surprised at the results that come back for this. It's not a foregone conclusion that the majority of our residents do support dogs coming to the markets, and I encourage everyone to have their say both for and against. I understand that the local shop owners are saying that if we do uphold this local law that there are no dogs at the markets, that their businesses are suffering. I hear and respect that, but this is a law that's been there for a long time. So I just think there's two sides to every story, and we need to have this community consultation across the board. I also pick up on Councillor Elliott's comments about where else in the city, and if we are going to public consultation for just the market, do we come back next week and it's Wellington Point down at the reserve? Well, I won't take my dog down there on Saturday and Sunday where we currently can't. So then do we have to go back out to public consultation again? You know, are we opening a can of dogs here? I'm not going to say the worms, but, you know, are we dog worms? No, but honestly, Mayor, are we opening to say, look, we're only of this law just picking out one specific spot across our city, and then next thing we get a petition in front page of the paper for another part of the city, and we have to go through this again. So I'm a little cautious on that one as well. Thanks.
I believe the Wellington Point Reserve was debated pretty strategically through a process, and so that's actually gone through that process. Council, it's your prerogative as councillors. If you think that a local law is not meeting today's needs and your community's needs, that's your prerogative, which is why I brought this. All I'm asking is for consultation to seek the community's views, and it probably will be right down the middle from what I've ascertained to date. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. I'm not a dog owner. I like dogs. This morning I was listening to 612 ABC Radio, and a discussion came about the Eagle Farm markets closing this month. There was a bit of discussion around why that might be. And one of the opinions that seemed to be coming through in the discussion was that their not being able to take dogs to that market was one of the indicators why people are staying away. It was also said that there's 60 markets throughout the Brisbane area, and only one doesn't allow dogs, and that's at the CBD of Brisbane. So in my mind, dogs are part of going to markets. I originally thought, like a lot of other people, is that maybe they shouldn't be there, but it is. Community wants it that way, and it actually helps make those markets successful, where people can bring along their dogs and patrol them, etc. So I think this going out to having a bit of discussion with the community, I think is important, because we're definitely at the moment we're not in the same league as all the other markets around Brisbane. So I think there's an issue that the community needs to have their voice on.
Councillor Golley.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I've got a couple of things here. So first, I just put something into context. First of all, I was a dog owner that were euthanised due to medical issues. So I just need to put that on the record. I favour two breeds, the Doberman Pinscher and the Hungarian Vizsla. Both dogs were trained highly. Both dogs were very human friendly. However, both dogs reacted to other dogs differently. If I walked my dog in a public area, you would physically watch people with their other dogs walk across the other side of the street to get away from me, purely because of just the sight of that breed. So we're not taking that into account either. How are the other people actually going to interact with those dogs? The paper reported in 1 week that council wasn't tough enough and that the markets were being impacted. In the following week, another resident was calling for council to be even harder, that we weren't tough enough the first week the council said the paper said we were too tough. In the following week, it was reported that we weren't tough enough. So it's a bit of a bit of confusion there. Just looking at some recent media reports, Yandina Markets. They've actually received a lot of complaints and they're enforcing a dog ban. The Noosa Farmer Markets manager, Shane Stanley, he's banning dogs because he's sick and tired of the issues that are happening with dogs in the markets. Also this morning on 612 ABC was another story about dogs in the Brisbane City Council where a dash hound was attacked by a larger German Shepherd who pushed an elderly man to the ground while both dogs were on lead. So this goes into the who's really controlling whom. It doesn't matter.
Councillor, we're just seeking that feedback from our community at this point
in time.
Okay,
so what I'm getting at is that I'm happy to support public consultation, but we need to be clear that there's a risk management element in here. Now, I sent an email out about 3 weeks ago when this first erupted on social media and went to the paper. I haven't received any advice back. Who's responsible if a dog attacks in the marketplace, or if two dogs start fighting and someone's injured or a dog is injured? Is it the owner or is council going to be held liable? Is it the market convener going to be held liable?
The owner has to be responsible for their dog.
But I'd also like to ask here that in the Yandina report, it also says that the market convener has the right as a permit holder to seek permission from the council to have dogs allowed at that specific time of the markets, but only that time. So is that being explored as well before we start going on public consultation and spending money, et cetera, et cetera? Has the market convener actually asked permission from council to adjust its permits in relation to having the dogs attend the markets? It's not to do with...
Fran, do you want to just respond to that?
Yes, so the permit doesn't contain any provision in relation to dogs, so that market permit that exists. So the local law obviously is the prohibition. The local law is the law, so I guess the permit really can't go contrary.
So they can't seek permission over and above
process.
That. Okay, so then if the law is the law, and that market convener received a permit under that law, how come here it says signage advising dogs were prohibited from Bloomfield Street between Queen and Middle Streets on Sundays between 6 a.m. and 4 p.m. was previously displayed by the market operator on the day of operation. However, this has not occurred in recent times. This has now actually turned into this, let's give council a good kicking because they installed signs that the market convener, under their permit application, was supposed to put out every market time. So have we actually had some sort of conversation with the market convener as to why they've now gone out and created folklore over actual law?
I can assure you there's been many discussions with the permit holders and the market operators.
I'd still like to know the risk mitigation here. Who's responsible? No saying the dog owner, but I can guarantee...
Graham, would you answer that question, please?
You could look up media stories where there's councils
media
have been
doesn't,
held
media doesn't,
responsible.
Media doesn't determine legal responsibility.
No, the media doesn't, but the stories reflect where...
So I'm getting you an answer, councillor.
...have actually been held accountable by the public for these
The
injuries.
Media and public opinion does not define who has legal responsibility. I'm getting the officer to tell you who has legal responsibility. That's under law.
So the answer is the dog owner, so whoever's controlling the dogs, they have the responsibility at that time. So the law basically sets the framework, so you should not do a certain action, but council doesn't carry the responsibility or any negligence in respect to enforcing the law.
Councillor Mitchell.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, what a great debate, and I think it's probably reflects the need for the mayoral minute being brought forward, and certainly had my support to get everyone to have a say. I'm sure it was a great and well supported law when the moment in time happened in 1997. Well, here we are a few years later, and is it still fit for purpose? Around this room, in Bloomfield Street, and in my own family, there's yeses and nos. So it is, I think, important that we all have a say. Certainly, it's fair to say that the discussions around this have been going on, to my knowledge and with me, for the last 6 to 12 months, and it got quite confused, and doesn't matter, it went to the media in one way. But looking forward, I think it is time, and all those factors combined with this discussion we've just had around the room, yeah, we need to have a good chat with the community now and see where it comes down. And let's hope it's firmly down one way or the other, so it's clear. If it's not, it's going to give us another challenge. But anyway, I'm looking forward to, hopefully, the mayoral minute being adopted and the consultation being undertaken.
Any other speakers? Can I just clarify, make it very, very clear that I am not asking at this point in time for the local law to be changed. I'm asking for us to seek feedback for that local law to be changed. I would hope also that we use this opportunity to educate our dog owners on their responsibilities, the length of their leads, that's something that's been raised, their responsibility of picking up after their dogs, and maintaining the behaviour of their dogs wherever they are in the city, because that is a requirement under our local law as well. So let's use this as an opportunity. Certainly, where I've travelled in other parts of the world, having dogs with you in almost every part of the city or area is fairly commonplace. It's actually part of the lifestyle offering of many of these places. So things have changed since 1997. I will be very interested will be, I guess, led by community view on this when it returns, making sure that the consultation is thorough. And I say that because I've seen the responses of another local law recently, which clearly indicated to me the community was making submissions on elements that they did not understand. So that's my message through this consultation process. It needs to be very specific, so that it doesn't get clouded by other opinions on slightly differing issues. So that's why I'm more than happy to change it to say to be specific to Cleveland CBD in this instance. In regards to making sure there are responsibilities when you do take your dog to any part of the city that need to be adhered to, regardless of where it is. So, councillors, I now seek your support. Yeah. Are you happy with the change I've made there, specific to Cleveland CBD? Okay, all right. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Golay, Hewlett, Edwards, Hughes, Tolte, Gleeson, Bishop Williams. Those against? Councillor Elliott. Thank you. Okay, councillors, there are no other notices of motion, but there has been an urgent business.
Madam Mayor, I've decided to pull that urgent business from the table until I have further discussion with the planning office for today's meeting.
Okay, thank you. I think that's wise. So there's been a lot of discussion, and to have an urgent that type of urgent notice discussed on the floor with that discussion would be difficult. Okay. All right. Moving on to confidential items, councillors. Move that we move into confidential. So I'll take the motion then. Just to be clear, there's been a proposal that we don't move into confidential. Yeah. Well, I think probably the way to deal with it, Councillor Tolte, is to take the motion as we would normally proceed and vote accordingly. So we have a motion to move into closed session. We note that there is a request to keep 19.1 and 19.2 in the public domain. Put the motion to go into closed session Councillor Elliott has moved that. Councillors, is there a move that we go into confidential? Oh, you're happy to move into confidential? Oh, that was what I just said and you said. Yeah. Move, Councillor Elliott, seconded.
If I may ask for clarification, I'm happy for them to be discussed publicly. I just want to know, are we allowed? Because usually amendment packages aren't in confidential, are in confidential, I mean. So can I just ask legally or whatever, are we allowed to?
Are you able to respond, Andrew, please?
I can provide some principles, Madam Chair. Certainly it's a council decision to vote on going into confidential or not. Usually the rules, as you know, is considering matters of council interest and matters of personal interest. Certainly the general headings are considering industrial matters, court matters, planning matters, budget matters. These two reports, when I look at them, do have private parcels indicated. So the debate on those issues may affect those particular parcels, may affect particular property owners, particular values, particular insurances. I don't really know because I haven't seen all the detail, but that's the reason why we go into confidence to talk about these issues.
So that we can actually discuss this formally, we've got a mover to go into closed session. Have we got a seconder? We've got Councillor Bishop. So I acknowledge the advice given by our legal counsel. Councillor Tolte, you have a question on that advice?
Madam Mayor, item 19.2 is responding to public consultation. So all of those matters are already in the public domain and we are responding to the changes that are proposed based on submissions. So people are surely entitled to know how those submissions are being dealt with. And 19.1, as was just said by Councillor Elliott, affects people's lives.
My understanding it would be considered an item of ordinary business. Therefore, it normally would be discussed in confidential. That would be my understanding. Am I correct? It would be a regular process. And I note Councillor Tolte's objection to that. So we have a mover and seconder to move into closed session. If there's no further discussion, I'll put that vote. Thank you. Those in favour? Against? Those in favour, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams, those against Councillor Tolte and Councillor Gleeson. So we're now moving into closed session and I ask the thank the members of the public for their attendance today and the press.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move an amended motion to 19.1.
Your amended motion's on the screen.
Thank you.
And you've got a seconder. Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak? Well, probably shouldn't be speaking to it, Councillor. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? I'll just put the motion. I don't want to speak to it in public domain. Those against? Okay, those in favour? Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop. That has failed. So therefore, we'll go back to the original amendment moved by Councillor Boglari, seconded by Councillor Bishop. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Okay, so the motion is carried. I'll go a bit slow. My apologies. Right. Councillor Boglari, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop, vote in favour. Those against, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams. Moving on to 19.2, Councillor Hewlett. Move Councillor Elliott as amended. Councillors are clear on that, seconded by Councillor Hughes. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour are Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Golay, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Tolte, Bishop, Williams. Those against, Councillor Gleeson. And noting that Councillor Hewlett has declared a conflict of interest due to a donation, I think it was... donated to his political campaign in 2012, and so he's declared that interest and decided to leave the room. Item 19.3. Moved Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Gleeson, Bishop, Williams, those against, Councillor Golay and Councillor Tolte. Close the meeting at 2:25, councillors. Thank you.